Romans chapter 8, I do want to remind you, if you are a man of the church and want to give a testimony of your salvation or how God is working in your life, there are some spots to sign up for out there. And so we don't have anybody signed up yet for next Sunday or the Sunday after that or the Sunday after that. So sign up or volunteer, or I may call you and say, hey, will you? And then you can say yes or no. Preferably yes. If we've got a testimony, it's good to share it. We've been doing this every Sunday morning, November, December, January, February. We're into March, and it's been a blessing. Every Sunday we've had a man to give a testimony, and I know that eventually we'll run out of them, but it's good. I think we can make it through the end of March. And so let's try to do that. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9, and dealing today, continuing our relationship with God. And today we're looking at this, caring for what God cares for. Caring for what God cares for. Romans 8, 5 through 9 says this, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So we can understand there are things that God cares about that are spiritual things. There are things that the flesh cares about that are fleshly things. Verse number 6, "For to be carnally minded," that is fleshly minded, "is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so we look at this, and there are people who they care about the flesh, they care about and mind the things of the flesh, the things of the world, and that hinders their relationship with God. In fact, the Bible says it is at enmity with God, or the enemy against God, opposing God. And then there are those that walk in the Spirit, and if we're walking in the Spirit, we're caring about the things that God cares about, and that helps our relationship. When in a relationship, we share things with each other. A man who has his friends and a woman who has her friends soon grow distant in their own relationship. Talk about a husband and wife. And you've met people that, well, he has his friends and I have my friends. Well, what happens in that is they grow distant themselves, and they need to once again be concerned about and care about the things that each other cares about. I cannot imagine if my wife were to say, well, the church, that's his thing. I'm going to go and just be about my career. That wouldn't be much of a relationship, would it? We need to care about what each other cares about in our relationships. Though all of us have differences, relationships end up being built on purposefully caring about the same things. A lot of people do not naturally care about the same things. But if we want a relationship, we need to say, okay, I'm going to listen to them talk about that. Ladies, it might be your husband talking about something mechanical. And you're like, oh no, here he goes again. For men, it might be your wife talking about a recipe. It's like, just prepare it and let's eat it. But you know what it is ultimately we need to say, I want to on purpose care about the same things or some of the same things that they care about, and we build a relationship like that. So today we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at that God cares about holiness and God cares about souls. And we're going to look at those two points this morning and try to put them in the proper order that God puts them in. Let's pray. We'll look at the message. Father, I ask that you would help. God, it is a great responsibility to preach your word. And God, to properly represent you. And Father, when we look at this idea and we think, okay, God, what do you care about? Father, I pray that we would see this biblically today. Father, sometimes people care all about souls and nothing about holiness. Sometimes people care all about holiness and nothing about souls. God, I pray that we would care about both and that they would be in their proper order. God, help us to learn more about you. And God, please continue to build our relationship with you, our fellowship with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God cares for holiness. Isaiah chapter 6 describes the holiness of God. And it says this, Isaiah sees a vision. And in verse 2 of chapter 6, it says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When we understand God, we understand the Bible description of God. God is a thrice holy God. Holiness is the attribute, what we describe as the attribute of attributes of God. It is what makes God, God. Without holiness, God would not be and could not be God because it demands absolute holiness, absolute perfection, and every attribute that comes that we think of that describe God falls underneath that attribute of holiness. God is a holy God, completely separate from darkness, completely separate from evil, completely separate from wickedness. So many times, and even in the Bible, it describes it. He says, these things did not even enter into my mind that people would develop and do such wickedness as these. Psalm 111 and verse 9 says this, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. When we think of God, I want you to think of the highest of the highest, the holiest of the holiest. I want you to understand that his name is called reverend. I do not go by the name reverend. That name belongs to God. No man is worthy of that name. That is God's name. His name is to be revered. His name is to be held high because it is a holy name. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one, that one is capitalized, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says, I am so holy. I dwell high and lifted up. I am lofty above any person. But if you will humble yourself and with a broken or contrite heart, come to me. I will fellowship with you. I will revive you. I will allow you to enter into my holiness. Leviticus 11 and verse 45. Let's turn to Leviticus. We'll go to three passages or three verses in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 45 says this, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. If we were to look at this in the New Testament, we would say it more like this. I am the Lord that saved you to be your God. I am the Lord that sent my Son Jesus Christ to pay for your sins so that you could trust in Him in order to be your God. And then he says this, ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. In Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. That word sanctify means to set apart, to clean up from the world, to be distant and separated from evil and from wickedness. Verse number 26 of the same chapter says this, and ye shall be holy unto me, For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Now, in speaking to the nation of Israel, he says, I have separated you out from the Canaanites and from the Jebusites and from the Ammonites and from the Moabites. He says, I have severed you from them. I have set you apart to be a holy people. You're not to worship their gods. You're not to go into the immorality that they go into. You're not to participate in the wickedness and sins that they participate in. I have severed you from among them. When we think of Christianity and the fact that a person gets saved, we are saved to be different, to be holy, to be separate from the world. God cares about holiness. You know, everything about the worship of God was holy. The altar is referred to as holy. The incense that was used in the tabernacle is referred to as holy. The perfume that they used in the tabernacle and the service of the tabernacle was holy. It was not supposed to be used in anything else. The priest's clothing was set apart as holy. The offerings and sacrifices, once that lamb was brought and given, it was a holy sacrifice. The vessels that were used in the service of the tabernacle were holy. Nothing was supposed to be used in anything worldly. It's set apart for God. You remember what happened to Belteshazzar when he used God's vessels in the worship of idols. The hand came down and wrote on the wall and said, "Meeny, meeny, tickle, you Pharisee. See, your days are numbered. You're finished. I'm dealing with you tonight." And Babylon fell that night. God refers to His holy city. God refers to His holy prophets. God refers to holy commandments. And so everything about God is holy. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, lest we should just look at this and say, well, this is just an Old Testament principle. No, it's not. It is a New Testament truth and doctrine every bit as much, because God does not change. Has God's holiness changed over the years? Absolutely not. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16 says this, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." He says there's things that before you knew God that you used to participate in. There's language that before you knew God you used to use. There is a dress of the world, fashioning yourselves after the world and worldliness that you used to wear before you knew what God said about it and what the Bible said about it. There is a morality that you used to have, or an immorality that you maybe used to have before you knew what God said about one man and one woman getting married for one lifetime and avoiding and fleeing fornication. And he says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That word conversation means your entirety of your lifestyle. It's an older English word. It's not a problem. It's not a complicated word. It just means it's not speech like we think of it today. It is the entirety of the way you live, your manner of living. And he says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." He says, look, Peter is quoting Leviticus. And he's saying, we are to be holy in every aspect of our life. Our integrity, our honesty, the things we see with our eyes, the things we hear with our ears, we're supposed to be separate from this world. It's getting harder and harder and harder in this world. The wickedness of this world is on the rise. Holiness, the holiness of God has not changed. And we need to be careful that we do not dumb down the holiness of God. We need to be careful that as we desire and strive for a relationship and fellowship with God, that we remember God cares about holiness, and God in our relationship with Him wants us to care about holiness. We go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. He's talking about the entirety of the world system, but the physical elements as well. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You look at it and you understand, you know what? I'm not going to enter into wickedness in order to get ahead in this life. I'm not going to participate in the wickedness of this world in order to get physical gain. Why? It's all going to pass away. And he says, when we understand that it's all going to pass away, what should we focus on? We should focus on holiness. We should focus on the things that God focuses on, and God focuses on holiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, dealing with God's holy temple. Into the New Testament, things change a little bit. Remember, the temple got defiled several times in the Old Testament, and they had to go through and they had to clean it out. And one of the reasons they had to clean it out from just the dust and dirt. But they also had to clean it out from the wickedness that had crept in to it. Here, God is describing the New Testament temple. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17 say this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He's talking about saved people. When you got saved, Moses in his testimony said, I got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed me, the Holy Spirit indwelt me. And then the Holy Spirit began to say, hey, stop the sin. Stop the wickedness. Why? Well, you're the temple of God. And so he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. See, the church of Corinth had allowed sin to creep into the church, and sin was going on within the church family, within the church body, when by the time we get to chapter 5, it says, look, here's a guy that is committing fornication within the church. You need to separate him out. He can't attend anymore. He is living in wickedness. He cannot be a member of the church. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? God cares about holiness. Now look, if we're going to use our bodies for wickedness, God says you better be careful, I might just destroy your body. Now if you're saved, your soul is saved, eternally secure, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. What he's saying is this, if any man defile the temple of God, what is that? That's you. That's your body. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And if you take and use that temple for wickedness and for corruption and for ungodliness, God is saying, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You better be careful about living and using your body for wickedness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. He's coming off of a portion of Scripture that says to flee fornication, stay away from immorality. And he says in verse 19 and 20, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your what? In your body and in your spirit, which are whose? They're God's. And God says, my temple needs to be holy. I think from time to time we need to do a check on our temple. And we need to look, say, what have I gotten used to in this world? Has my conscience become seared to the wickedness that's around me? I'll tell you, it's a wicked world. Let me just say, modesty and shamefacedness is gone in our world. Everywhere you go, people are dressed lewdly. It's sick, but it's everywhere. And we need to be careful as holy people of God that we don't just get used to that. Because it's easy to just get used to it. It's just normal. It's not normal. It's wicked, it's wrong, it's sinful. It's not normal that people are living together unmarried. We can never get to the point, well, that's just the way society is. No, it is against God. Is it against God's word? It is against God's holiness. God cares about holiness. Now, shifting to the second point, God cares for souls. And I want to look at these because we cannot properly care for souls if we do not care for holiness. And many churches today have compromised holiness with what they say is a desire for souls. Well, we need to be more worldly to reach more people in the world. We need to do things that are worldly to attract worldly people into the church. Because it's all about souls. Now, does God care for souls? Absolutely. And we're going to demonstrate that from the scripture, and then we're going to tie these two together at the end of the message. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Does God care for souls? Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 9, says this: "For when we were yet without strength," that strength is we were without strength in any way to save ourselves, in any way to draw nigh to God. "When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died for me. I was ungodly. He died for you. You were ungodly. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Does God care for souls? Absolutely. God cares so much for souls that when the souls were still wicked, were still ungodly, were still separated from God, God said, "I'm going to send my Son to die, that people might be reconciled back to me. I'm going to send my Son, and He's going to shed His blood as the sacrifice for sin." Does God care for souls? Absolutely. 1 John 4:9 says this: "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Wow. God showed His love, didn't He? He demonstrated it. And God then gives a great commission to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, if you want to turn there, Matthew 28, the verses are familiar. But God, in giving a commission to the church and saying, "Here, I've got a goal for you, a purpose for you," He says this in verse 19 and 20 of chapter 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world." Now look at this. We're to go to everybody and give the gospel. That is the duty of God's people. That is the duty of the church. But in going to them, we're presenting the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from what? You could say sin, or you could say hell, but hell is just the punishment for sin, so you're saving them from sin. And then what does he say? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Let me ask this question. Does God care more for souls or more for holiness? God cares more for holiness. If God only cared for souls and cared for souls above holiness, he would not demand holiness for a soul to go to heaven. There would have been no need for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have just looked and said, "You're good enough. I'll take you." No, God demands holiness so much that in order for us to come back to Him and be reconciled to Him, He had to send Jesus Christ because God's holiness demanded that the penalty of sin be paid, and it was paid by Jesus Christ. God did not devalue holiness in order to save souls. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be absolutely holy so that He could be the payment for the sins of mankind. And in giving the Great Commission, God doesn't say, it's all about souls, just get them to pray a prayer and tell them they're on their way to heaven. No, they need to understand that their sin is sending them to hell, and their sin is separating them from God, and their sin will not allow them to draw nigh to God. And so they need a mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, who will come together and say, I paid for the sin. If you'll come through me, I'll introduce you to God, and you will be robed with my what? Righteousness. See, God did not accept us in unholiness. God made us righteous through Jesus Christ. God did not compromise His holiness in order to save souls. And so we should not compromise holiness in order to see more people in the building. We should not compromise on our music in order to attract a different kind of crowd. God is still holy. Now, praise God, all sin is forgivable. But that sin, as we look at it, I want you to just think about this. These two questions, does God care more for souls or more for holiness? He cares more for holiness. Did God compromise His holiness in order to save souls? The answer is no. Let's look at Romans 5 again. Romans 5, verse 19. We see what has taken place here. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, this is Jesus, shall many be made what? Righteous. Did God compromise His holiness to save souls? No. And then he says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He says, I gave the law that you might understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And then I sent the Savior that you might have your sins paid for. And then it says in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, salvation is saving us from sin that was given us by Adam, and by our choice to follow that nature, and saving us to the righteousness which is given by Jesus Christ, and we are given then a new nature in order to live in holiness. God didn't save us to give us a ticket to heaven, compromising His holiness. God saved us and said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God saved us and said, be obedient children, not walking in the former lust, but being holy in all of our conversation. We need to look at every aspect of our life and say, how am I matching up to the holiness presented by God's word? We need to consider our eyes, our ears, our tongue. We need to consider our hands and our feet. We need to consider every aspect that God has given us and say, God, help me to be holy. See, God saved us to bring us to His holiness. Does God value souls? Absolutely. And when Jesus died, He died to save us from our sin. Does God value souls? He sure did. And He tells us to go out and present the gospel. But part of the gospel is people realizing, why did Jesus die? He died because of our sin. He died for our sin, to pay for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, when a person wants to get saved, it cannot be, well, I don't want to die and go to hell. I just want a ticket to heaven. We need to understand, when you get saved, God wants to make you a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are going to become new. What does God expect? God expects that when you get saved, you are now going to be walking in holiness. Now, look, there's a learning process. There is a getting into the Word of God. Believe me, how many of you got saved and you did not yet comprehend what holiness was? Yeah. And where do you find out what holiness is? You get in the book. We have to preach the Word of God. But holiness is in every aspect of our life as we now live as new creatures for Christ. Old things passed away, all things become new. Look, it's not works salvation in any way, shape, or form. We aren't working to be saved. Jesus died to save us. But He died to save us, and then we are, after we are saved, we are to follow Him. We should get baptized. We should join the church. We should live a holy life for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no interest in the Bible. There is no interest in God saying, I'm just going to give you a ticket to heaven, but I don't want your life to change. That is unbiblical all the way through. He saved us so that grace may abound. But He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, He said, God forbid. God values holiness. God values souls. So we should value, in the order that God values them, we should value holiness and we should value souls. But as God will not compromise His holiness in order to get people to heaven, we cannot compromise holiness in order to get more people in a pew. The gospel will change people. Do I want lost people to come in and hear? Yes, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I absolutely do. But I'm not playing the world's music in order to attract them. We aren't parading our girls around out there. Oh, come to church and be with me. No. We need to be a holy place. A God-honoring place. Everything we do in the church, about the church, ought to bring honor to God. Now, do we fail at that? Sure we do. But we strive for that. The church is a place primarily of encouragement for the saints to go out and live holy so that we can be a light and testimony in the world. And as we go out and live in holiness, it ought to be in our mind, boy, God wants that person to be holy. God wants that person to be holy. God wants that person to be holy. I want to give them the gospel so that they can be made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God can change them. God wants to change that one. Sometimes we look and we say, that person's a sinner. Yeah, so were you before you got saved, and you still are. But you now have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God wants to. And as we present the gospel, remember this, God wants to save that person. God wants to change them. It's not just about a ticket to heaven. God wants to make them holy. And if they're made holy, they'll be in heaven. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is given them. And that's where the commission goes on to say, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded. What kind of person says, yeah, I want my ticket to heaven, but I don't want God to change me? I have a question about that. For a person to say, I love God, but I don't want to be holy. You don't love God. God values holiness. So in our relationship with God, we need to care for the things that God cares for. God cares for holiness. And God cares for souls. So let's be holy. And let's do our very best to get out and witness, to bring people from the state of sin to the state of righteousness. From the state of going to hell to pay for their sin to their sin being paid for and they get to go to heaven. And may God help us to keep this straight in our minds. God forbid that we ever, I'm holy and so I don't care for those wicked sinners. God forbid. We need to take our holiness and we need to walk up to that sinner and say, Jesus died so you could be holy. Jesus wants to make you righteous. Jesus wants to clean up your life. And there may be a variety of ways of presenting the gospel, but ultimately that's what we're doing. And we need to be after it. March is here. I want to, and we're going to have to watch the weather for 2 or 3 weeks here probably. But this Saturday, let's get out and knock on some doors and invite some people to church. 9:30 on Saturday. We'll be out. We've taken a little bit of a break for the winter. A couple of Saturdays we probably could have. But we need to get out and get after souls. As you go about your daily activities, remember souls. God loves souls, but God loves holiness. And if we're going to properly represent God, we need to represent Him in holiness. God's not a club. Church is not a club. It's not just a social thing. It's a place where we learn about our Savior, our God. It's a place where we hold in high regard the Word of God, which God has perfectly preserved. God's good. God saved us. God saved Moses. God saved Tina. We got some children that are growing up, and boy, I pray they'll come to that point where they realize, I need to be saved. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray, and we'll have an invitation. Father, I pray that you would help us. God, your holiness is of absolute importance to you, and souls are absolutely important to you. God, I pray that as we consider you this morning, God, help us to take our minds and consider you our God, our Father, our Savior. God, help us to care for the things that you care for. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. as the piano plays, God's spoken to your heart and you want to come and pray and talk to Him, I'd encourage you to come. Do you care for holiness? Do you care for souls? Maybe there's someone here today and you say, I'm not saved yet. Is there anybody here today say, I'm not sure if I were to die today, I wouldn't go to heaven, I'd go to hell, but I want to be saved. Is there anybody that wants to be saved today? How many of you would readily say, I am saved, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He's the only thing I'm depending upon to get to heaven? Okay? Great. If you're not saved, Jesus wants to save you. But He wants to change you. If you say, I don't want to be changed, I'd like to go to heaven, but I don't want to be changed, well, you need to get your thinking straightened out, because when you get saved, He wants to change you. So be ready to be changed. Well, God's given us a vast work to do, doesn't He? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, it's good news. Well, let's care for souls, okay? Let's go out and live holy, be right, walk right with God, but let's care for souls. Let's get out after that as well. Greet our visitors today. We're so glad that you're here with us, and it's good to see all of you here. Do remember this, if you are a man and would like to give your testimony, sign up out there. Next Sunday needs one, the Sunday after that, so let's get on that list. You say, oh, I'd have a hard time. Well, several people have had a hard time. How many of you have thought it was super easy to get up and give my testimony? One, two, yeah. Most of the rest have just done it because you know what? It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to share our testimony. So let's sign up for that if you haven't yet, and let the church hear how you got saved. Let the church hear how God's worked in your life. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus, dying on the cross to pay for our sins. God, help us to live for You. God, help us to live in Your righteousness. And Father, give us a compassion for souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.